Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, you know, when I was a kid living on Long Island, my dad and I used to sail lots off the coast, and that was a lot of fun. And today we're going to talk about some opportunities for blind people to participate in longer sailing voyages.
One major difference is that Pete and his dad did this in a tiny boat that barely fit the two of them. The Imago Maris Foundation hosts annual sailing expeditions in boats that are big enough for several dozen people, with half the participants being visually impaired and the other half sighted. Each participant does everything from working the ropes to kitchen duty, and we will speak with Julia, a volunteer with Imago Maris, and Robert, a blind sailor, both of whom participated in a voyage last summer. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Robert.
Of course, I would like to say, if you can, if you have a lot of time, of course, it's a good idea for holiday and for really good trip, yes, to going to sailing.
And you will hear just how wonderful this trip was actually for both of them.
And learn how you can participate.
Let's start by meeting Robert and Julia.
Hi, my name is Julia. I'm working as a volunteer for Imago Maris Foundation from Poland. Our foundation is quite new and young because we operate only for 1 year. And our main goal is organizing and promoting sailing for blind and visually impaired people.
You said you work for them as a volunteer. Do you have another job also?
Yes, I do. Each day I'm working for a company that is organizing music festivals in Poland.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Sometimes, yeah.
And then Robert, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey. My name is Robert and I work in Invisible Exhibition in Warsaw in Poland. And with Imago Maris, I went in sailor's trip. Imago Maris was make my dreams come true about sailing at the sea, because I really like to be a sailor. I like to sailing on the lakes, on the small boats, and I always dreams about go to the big boats. And Imago Maris gives me this experience, this chance.
You introduced yourselves with just your first names. Do you want us to not use your last names at all? Do you want to reintroduce yourselves with your last names? It's up to you.
On my side, I didn't use my surname because it will be for people from United States still difficult to remember and so on. So I thought it's not important. My surname is Kravchuk, which it's easier to use names.
Polish surnames is Kravchuk. It's not so bad. My surname is Zarzecki, so it's much more worse.
Many of our listeners have visual impairments. Does either of you?
Yeah, I am almost blind, so I have problem with retina, so my vision is going diverse all the time. And I would like to keep so many pictures, so many new experiences, and so many pretty pictures, what you can see, as it possible, because I know I will be blind, but I don't know when. So when I first time saw information about the trip with Imago Maris to Captain Borchardt last year, we went with my wife at Iceland. So I says to my wife, yo, we must go because I always would like to sailing on the sea. So that was my dream. It was came true. So for me, it's really good experience because I don't know if it will be possible when I start to be blind. I don't know. But now I can see a little yet.
And Julia?
I'm sighted. I'm wearing glasses and contact lenses, but generally I'm a sighted person.
Robert, can you talk a little bit about your prior experiences sailing before your Imago Maris trip?
You know, I work in Invisible Exhibition, and every year we are going to competition on lake on small boats. I have a crew, 9 person. I'm a captain of the boat, and 5 person of my crew is completely blind. And I have just only 3 person which can see. They are navigators, but we are take the some places, of course, on the competition, because I have some friends which really like adrenaline and some new experience in some new, you know, days or something like this, yeah? So, new stories.
Oh, how neat.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Imago Maris and the sailing expeditions that they host.
Before we talk about the voyage that you all did last year and what that experience was like, can you tell us a little bit about the organization, how it got started?
It was established in December 2013 by Eva Skrzecz, which is the president of the foundation. The history is that in Poland, there is another organization organizing sailing voyages for blind and visually impaired people, but they are operating only in Poland. And Eva wanted to make it more international, so people will meet other people from different countries, which will make this experience more interesting. So she decided to set up a foundation. And last year, we organized our first international sailing voyage, which took part in October, the one that me and Robert attended. And we were sailing from Alicante through Ibiza, Mallorca to
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. What does Imago Maris mean?
It means to like a picture, image of the sea. That's from Latin.
Many of our languages have Latin roots, so I should have been able to figure that out.
It just shows the idea that we want to let blind people see in a certain way, sea and sailing, by just experiencing it by sailing, so they can imagine how it looks like and have their own image of it.
So you said that your organization wants to have more international participants. Are you restricted to just Europe, or do you take people from all over the world?
No, we invite people from all over the world. The only problem is that to come to Europe, it's much more expensive to fly to Europe. And if we even have one participant from Argentina. So there is no barriers to come. It's only that the flight ticket is more expensive. That's the only obstacle.
How skilled does one have to be in order to participate in one of these voyages? Can you be a novice at this?
We're organizing in Poland, like one day trainings, but we're aware that people from other countries can't come and take part in it. But still, we can send them all the information by email, help them to get prepared so they won't be afraid what will happen when they arrive. We have prepared in English some information about boat, about basic sailing language, so you can get prepared.
Do you require everybody to speak English with each other?
Yeah, like last time we had people from Germany, Latvia, Italy, and Lithuania. The biggest group was Polish group. So, of course, sometimes people were speaking with each other Polish and or German people speaking between each other in German. But we try to speak English because that's the language that most of the people understand.
Where do your sailing voyages go to?
This year we're organizing one in Baltic Sea and the other one in Mediterranean Sea we plan to do.
So how big are these trips? How many people go on a boat?
It depends on a boat, but maximum it's like Captain Borchardt, the tall ship we were sailing on last year. There was 34 people, plus mates and plus captain, like the normal crew that is always on a ship. But for example, for the Baltic sailing voyage we're organizing in September, only around 20 people can come because it's a smaller ship.
So does the 20 include the participants plus the volunteers, or is that just the visually impaired people?
We try to make it half-half. So half of the participants are blind and half are sighted. And they're all mixed in different watches because that's the way how life on a ship is organized, that you're divided to watches. And in each watch, we're also trying to do this half-half and also mix people from different countries because we want them to integrate, not to stay only with folks from their own country.
The blind participants actually get to work on the boat and help sail the ship and do all the other tasks that are required, right?
Yeah, like Robert can say that he was doing everything. There's no help, like they have to do everything. We're all equal.
Okay, Robert, what did you do?
You know, I'm a sailor for about maybe more or less 4-5 years. I know something about sailing. And for me, on the boat, the most interesting situation went when we pulling up the sails on the wind or something like this, when we can do something. So we are pulling up. Yes, we are taking the line and two, maybe three person in one line, we are pulling up the sail, the big, big, big sail. So that was very, very interesting. And of course, if you are in a watch which is not do the it on the rest crew, so in my opinion, it's quite boring. When I have a campus watch, so when we must do a breakfast, lunch, the dinner, all the time we can do everything. So we can cleaning, we can cooking, we can help to our cook, we can put the something to eat to somebody. Yes, we can, of course, help them. So that was everything. If we should clean boat, we are doing, we did this. So for me, that was really nothing strange, nothing different what I do in my home. We can do everything at normal life. So we just need something more. Like example, on the boat, we need something lifeline. So another line in the middle of the boat to give us some orientation, like example, where we are now, because there isn't any different thing. So it's much more safe for us. But we can do everything. We can steering by the ship because we have special program in our computers. I can listening what the cars is our boat have it now. So I could do it.
So I guess cooking breakfast isn't nearly as exciting as tugging on some ropes in the sun and the wind blowing past you.
No, it isn't, but everybody has to do this from time to time, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe it's not so interesting, but it is. But if you are just only pulling up the sails on the wind, so you are standing on the boat for about half hour, maybe 1 hour. The maneuvers, it's for about 1 hour. After that, you are sitting and you are, of course, keeping sun or something like this. But if you are cooking, you are doing something all the time. Yeah, you are cooking every meals you must to cook and you must to give to somebody. Yes. So this is interesting. If you are in a watch which is on the rest crew, so in my opinion, it's quite boring.
So you talked about steering and the use of computers. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does that work?
Yeah, it's working like that. When I standing near the steer, I would like to take my phones so I can hear what kind of cars we have. So the captain says, you must steering about these cars. We must do sailing about 15 east or something like this. And I can hear everything in my ears, so it's not impossible. Probably the captain on this boat and another boat says they would like when the blind person is steering, because the blind person is listening and they are concentrate, and when the boat is going to another cars, they are really very fast to correcting this. But when it's steering some person which can see, they are always looking on the sky, on the clouds, or somebody's, yes? So they are steering like a zigzag or something like this.
So they're distracted by all the visual stimulation.
Yeah, because we are steering straight off.
So is this an app on your smartphone, or they have voice synthesizers on their computers?
We just have a special rudder and a talking GPS. And there is a program. We have just a laptop computer in the steering room. So you can use earphones and listen, because there is a program that is reading loud the information from GPS and from the rudder.
Oh, that's great.
This is a commercial screen reader that you just installed on the computer?
No, like the person related with our foundation wrote a program for us. It's a simple program and using like commercial voices that are used in different kind of apps.
We interviewed a blind oceanographer some time ago who was often on research vessels, and she talked about how sometimes it was tricky navigating around the boat because objects were in unusual positions, there were stairs at odd angles, and I was wondering if there were any special accommodations made to make it easier for visually impaired people to get around the boat.
Maybe Robert would answer, like, what was he told about those
about lifeline. That was special for us, yes, because for us it was much more safe when a boat is on the sea is turning sand side to side, so it was not safe. So we had a special line in the middle, two lines, and the left and right lifeline. So that was special for us. Nothing more, probably. We have, of course, around of the boat the line, but it's probably normal at the boat. So we need to visit all the boats at the first day. We should to recognize the boat. We need to learn where is every point on the ship, on the boat, and then probably every one of us make for ourselves maps of these boats. We need to memorize it, what is stand everywhere. Yeah, so when we are sailing, probably nothing on the boat was really moving on the boats, because every one of them was connecting to some walls, to tables or something like this. It's all the time was standing in the same place.
Yeah, she commented about that. She said that actually made it a little bit easier for her walking around because all the furniture was attached to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's general thing about sailing. I've been sailing since I'm 12 years old, so long time. But everything has its place. Otherwise, if the wind will be very strong, you can't lose time for looking for it. So each rope has its place, each sail has its place, everything has its place, so you can find it quickly, and everybody has to learn it. Sighted, blind people have to learn what is where.
That's an especially nice situation for a visually impaired person. We keep our house in good order like that too, just so I can find stuff and I don't walk into things.
Exactly.
So it sounds like there's a lot of preparation involved before you actually set sail, just to learn the boat and the geometry of the boat. What else do you have to do to prepare for a voyage?
When I go to some sailing trips, I just must take good humor. So when I go to other boats, I must learn it. And of course, when we are sailing, when we are on the sea, and we must do some maneuvers, is it wind is bigger or smallest, and we must change the sails, our officer has told us, hey, we must go to pull up the sails. So you must go with me or to this place, and we will do something, yes? Of course, they are explain us everything, because more or less half of us never time before was sailing on a boat. So, of course, our officers all the time is help us. If we didn't know, they help us. So we must to take some good humors. Yeah, they are explain everything all the time. If we are forget, they are explaining and they are give us once again the same information.
So a lot of people who take vacations on a boat, they think about you get on the boat and every day you get off in another city and, you know, at night maybe you're on the boat. But on these trips, do you actually get off the boat during the trip or you just stay on the boat for however long the trip lasts?
It depends on the road. For example, when we were sailing from Alicante, there was Ibiza and Mallorca on our way. So it would be pity not to stop there. But we don't have to. We're prepared not stopping anywhere. But it's just good fun. It has to be also about having good fun and enjoying the time.
And how long do some of these voyages last?
Minimum 7 days up to 2 weeks. It also depends on the route.
Mm-hmm.
The one on Baltic Sail, it will be 12 days. And the one we plan on Mediterranean Sea, it will be 8 days.
Do you have any particularly memorable experiences you'd like to share with our listeners?
I remember one day, like my watch, it was our time to do all the cooking for 24 hours, because that's how it works, that you have different kind of watches. One is in with a cook and you're preparing all the meals and it lasts for 24 hours. Then you have break time for, and then you have steering watch and then a break. And steering watches, for example, are shorter. You can't be steering all the time because you need some time for rest. And when we were preparing food, the wind started to be very strong and all the plates, they were falling down from tables. And I remember that the rest of the food just fall on all my legs and my friend that was helping me doing the dishes. And everything was on the floor and it was really hard to clean it because the whole boat was rocking and we just all the food was on the floor, on our clothes, legs, and we just started laughing. It was just so funny situation in the end. Although at the first moment I felt like, oh no, how we will all clean it, and I have to take a shower now because I'm smelly with food. So yeah, sometimes in the end, you're laughing about it.
That's a good attitude to have, but it sounds like a lot of fun in the end, and you leave with some good stories.
What were some of the best things that happened on the trip?
In my opinion, like what was very important for everybody, no matter if you're sighted or if you're blind, you're in the middle of the sea, you don't have internet connection, you don't have even good mobile connection. And you can't go somewhere, I don't know, for a walk, take some time for yourself. You're with whole crew all the time and you have to focus on another person. And you're getting to know other person much, much better than during the same amount of time if you would be just in some kind of resorts taking holidays.
Was that a good thing?
Yeah, that was a very good thing. I'm still like in touch with people that we were sailing and we became friends.
I guess that involves a lot of good teamwork then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, and everybody has to trust everybody else because, you know, if it's not your turn to steer, then you have no control over it. You have to trust the other people.
So that's the rules to be in the crew, yes? When we are in the crew, everyone must trust to everyone, so... Because if somebody will be not do the job, so it could be something really danger. But, you know, we must true ourselves because if we are decide we would like to be the crew, we must to be one part of the right organism. Yes, if somebody will be not working in organism, the organism is not feel very good.
Now for this week's final item, how you can get more information about Imago Maris and the trips that they organize and how you can sign up to participate in one of these trips.
So if people wanted to find out more about this organization and or sign up for a voyage, how would they go about that?
They can just visit our Facebook page. Just type in Imago Maris, which is Imago and another word, Maris. You can find it on Facebook or the same, just at .eu, which is for Europe. And we have everything in English version, so they can find all information there. and sign for another sailing voyage we'll organize in autumn.
Do you have an email address where people can contact you to ask questions?
Yeah, just office@imagomaris.eu.
Do you have a presence on Twitter? And if so, what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, we have. The Twitter account is @imagomaris. So you can find us also there. From the main website, there are links to all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. So which one you're using, you're invited to find it on our website.
Do you still have any openings on trips that you're planning in 2015?
Yes, one at Baltic Sea, which will take place from 17th of September till 29th of September. And we still have some places. The other one at Mediterranean Sea, we will start in Barcelona. It will take place in November. It's still possible to take part in it.
Well, great. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I guess people ought to be checking your website for updated schedules and new voyages that you're putting together. And that should be a great resource for people.
Yeah.
Since doing the interview, but before recording this episode, they've settled on a firm date for the Mediterranean trip, and that will be from the 15th to the 22nd of November 2015.
Right. And do you have any final words for our listeners?
Just don't be afraid, and if you have some free time, really try it. I'm sure it will be an amazing experience for you, and it's really also interesting for sighted people to see how blind people are operating on a boat, how they function on a normal days, because you have opportunity to talk with them and how amazing their stories sometimes are, how differently they see the world, like feel it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, but one of the things, what's in my opinion, is very important. The fallback of distance to themselves and fallback of the humor.
Oh, good humor is always a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And if you're looking for any of that contact information, as usual, you can click on the link to our show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1528. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about accessible online games with Michael Forzano, who's one of the founders and lead developers at RS Games. They have developed a large number of networked online games you can play either by yourself or with others, and it includes accessible versions of numerous board games and card games, all with audio feedback. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, @EyesOnSuccess, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.